Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL what you see. Example. Cheerleader. You should take time to do something for yourself. You earned it. Making excuses. I'm exhausted by all that hard work. I don't have the energy to celebrate right now. Besides, it's too late to organize something anyway. High standards. Are you sure what you did was worth celebrating? Good etiquette. You can't toot your own horn about this. Eeyore. Who would want to celebrate with me? This is not important to anyone else. Life is serious business. What's the point of celebrating this? We still have many more important things to achieve. Lip service. Perhaps I could just treat myself to a procrastinator. There'll be plenty of time to celebrate later. It just feels too hard to do now. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Oops, hang on a second, Sherry. My cue is jumping all over the place. Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Jill in Philadelphia.
Well, hello, Jill. What are you saying?
Well, my favorite part always of this exercise is the names I get to come up with of the groups. So I have like the Puritan, I have the risk assessor, I have the protocol manager, I have this collection I'm calling Let Me Tell You How Much Fun You Think You're Having.
You think you're having.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. So, just all of these characters that are pulling at my attention to come in between my block my actual experience.
Jill, what you're saying is, you know these people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not. This is not just an exercise. These are clearly identities who play big roles in your life.
Yeah, and that was one thing I saw too. In fact, the last, and I'll just tell you this little detail because to me it was just so perfect. You know, what led me to the acceptance process was something I noticed, which was that the day that we were asked to celebrate during this year-long retreat, that exercise was rarely done. Like I would often do regularly all of them, and then that one, somehow conditioning pulled me off into, you know, you don't need to do the celebrating one. Or we would, that was one of my other voices, about the backdater. Like you did already celebrate that by, you know, paying attention to that flower or something.
Remember that time you had that coffee?
Exactly. That was a celebration. Anyway, and so I was already in this mode of like looking at the celebrating stuff, and so then it just came to this one, and so it's just all flowing perfectly. But yeah, and even in looking at what the email with the that was sent to us in those voices laid out. I mean, you know, and there's so much overlap, and so also seeing that like these are, you know, there's a broad commonality in them. They're not just my voices. Everyone has them.
They're everyone's, right. They might get a different. We might have a different label, but when you said Puritan, I thought, wow, how many people don't have that going on at some some level, whatever that's called.
Oh gosh, yeah. That one is so definitely fun. Comes up. Yes, very fun. Mm-hmm. So.
The other thing you said that it was you didn't say this, but it's what I took from it is the tag teaming nature.
Mm-hmm.
That they can mm-hmm. from one to the next to the next to the next until
mm-hmm.
whatever is going on, we'll bite on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Oh well, that is true. You know, I will do it later. I will, but mm-hmm. that's it. I'm just too busy right now. Yeah, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is, sooner or later they know if they keep at it, we'll go along with them.
Yeah, and that's what's been so great about this year long is the ones that I seem to hit on are ones that they're like this they're like the solar plexus or something. They're just this place where there is this whirlwind of voices, mm-hmm. and that cause just. It's hard to get out of the suffering because they're so persistent. So it's great to take a flashlight to them. And so old, oh gosh, and every, you know, in different manifestations. And yeah, they're
mm-hmm.
so old, yeah. Great.
Well, thank you, Jill.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Great talking with you. Take good care of yourself, and
thank you.
I'm happy.
You too. Will do. Thanks.
Thanks, Jill. Sherry, that really was what was dropping in for me. The Jill said the commonality or the universality
yeah.
of these voices.
Yeah.
It's just, I was just thinking how many of us can relate to that set of voices. And then by corollary, how egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate is just what it is. I mean, you can describe it by the attributes that we keep coming up with for it, like comparison and all of those things, but even the sub-personalities are the same, right? Everybody has a procrastinator because that's how it works.
Yes, and of course the suffering happens because we're taught to take it personally.
Yeah.
It's because nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
When we're growing up, people don't talk about, oh yeah, you know, I get talked into procrastinating all the time. It's one of the biggest things that, you know, who says that?
Yeah.
Even though your parents did it, your teachers did it, you know, everybody was doing it, but nobody was copping to it. So
yeah.
Then when I realized I procrastinated, I think, geez, this is awful. I mean, I guess, you know, I'm the only one doing this.
And there's something wrong with me.
And
yeah.
I can't fix it.
Yeah.
There's really something wrong with me. And then we get around a group of people like this who talk about everything, and it's like, yeah.
Well, something you said was so, I'd never really caught it the way I did when you said it just now, right, Sherry, that there's someone who believes what is being said, and oftentimes that's the subpersonality that doesn't get captured, right? So someone says you could do it later, and someone else says, yeah, I will do it later,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's right. I'll do it later.
Yeah, that is a universal.
The other side of that one. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Interesting. That's a good thing to catch on to. You know, the person mm-hmm. who agrees with what the voices are saying.
Yes. Well, and that so much of practice is stepping in between those.
Yeah.
Right? Being that conscious, compassionate awareness that says, let's do it now. It's
yeah.
opt in to do it now. Let's do it now. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it now.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Sephora.
Oh, hello. Who's this?
This is Laura.
Hey, Laura. What are you seeing?
I'm definitely also seeing that universality of the voices because I also had the same experience that was being talked about, that every month it's like celebration, maybe not, or, well, yeah, we already kind of celebrated, or, you know.
Yeah, well, you've done so much already. I mean, doesn't that count as a celebration? No. I wonder for how many folks, if this last month hadn't been celebrating, that wouldn't have really been brought into such clarity.
Mm-hmm. If I had seen that pattern, it was like, yeah, I should look at that. Really? Yeah, I should definitely look at that. But it has not risen to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and,
good.
Well, yeah, so I'm excited about that. I've been seeing a lot of fear voices with this, just this sense, like the, of like, don't tempt the devil, or like, you'll jinx it if you celebrate it, like, that it's like, okay, we got this, like, thing that's good, but it's like so precarious, or it's so, like, I'm so like in survival, you know, that
well, you just barely made it, Laura. I mean, you just you're just hanging on by the skin of your teeth, right? So you know don't push your luck. Keep your head down. Maybe nobody will notice.
Yep.
You won't, nothing worse will happen.
And there's this kind of, this, and part of that is it's sort of this sense of like, well, we're not done, so we can't celebrate yet. Like, every single thing that, you know, hasn't been resolved, or, you know, it's like, it's kind of that thing of like, well, we can celebrate when everything's over, you know, when you're dead, you know, then you can relax.
That's right.
Then you can...
then you'll relax and everybody can party. Right, because I'll plan a wake. Good, that'll be the celebration. Yikes! And yet, you know, we get when we say it out loud, that's the response. Good grief, that's tedious. And yet, that doesn't mean we're not living it on a day by day, practically a moment by moment basis. Right? Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. Don't enjoy your life yet. Not yet. Soon. Now, soon. Getting close. Not a lot soon,
mm-hmm.
but not right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can,
even
when
on
I
a
think...
day by day basis, right? So you've worked hard all day, but you know you can't enjoy that. But as soon as the work day is over, then there'll be the evening, and you'll get to enjoy the Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like. It's this celebration that never comes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just feel
somehow,
like in my body.
Go ahead, in your body.
Just that when I think about dropping that and just celebrating now, it's like just fear, just like, oh my God, no, I could not.
Yeah,
be,
that's
like,
right.
No,
that's
like,
it. That's it. That's ego, right? Because as soon as you start just enjoying your life, moment by moment by moment, there's no room for ego. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if just a mere thought of you enjoying your life, now celebrating, you know, that's something ego can really get its teeth into. Well, you know, all these arguments that we've heard. But what it really comes down to is you can't enjoy your life. That's dangerous. That's dangerous to enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dangerous for ego. And that's what you just saw. Fear shoots through. Oh, my God. Well, there's ego.
Yeah.
Holding down the fort.
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't
good
that good?
To see. Yeah.
It is, isn't it? Because now, once we know what that is, we know, wait a minute, I don't need to be afraid to enjoy my life. Ego's afraid I'm going to enjoy my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to enjoy my life.
Yeah. Hmm. Good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I'm happy for you. We have a lot of celebrating left to do, and you're just going to start just going crazy and enjoying yourself all through your days.
Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Party
so, yeah, I'm excited to see, you know, I had the feeling there'll be a lot to see this month, so I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura. Sherry, we were looking at the attributes of how conditioning works, right? And one of those was so evident in that conversation, to make celebration an occasion, right? When you make it a thing, then there are all these conditions that have to be met for the thing to happen, and it's how everything gets deferred. I mean, we're talking about living as an attitude of mind towards life, and as in celebrating as a process rather than celebrating as a thing. All through the year, that's what we've been doing, looking at process of continuity, because conditioning makes things objects, and that introduces the deferment and the conditionality of it, right?
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is, in that conversation with Laura, we were taking it from a content to a process. We're making it's a verb that we're
yes.
Making.
Right? Yes.
We're celebrating. We're not talking about a celebration.
Right, because a celebration has connotations of we have to have bells and whistles and whatever a celebration implies, and there are conditions, right? It has to be of certain significance. So if we approached almost everything in our lives as process, not content, then we actually take away an ego weapon, which is objectifying life, right? The separation.
Yes, yeah. That is so big. Objectifying life. Wow. That is a statement about how ego becomes the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I am the subject, and all of life is my object.
Yeah. Yes. Well, here's our next caller.
All right.
We'll just dissect the universe and then bring on the next caller. Here we go.
Yeah.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hello, Loren.
Hi.
What you got going?
Well, you know, this is a day that I really feel like I'm going out on a limb, putting myself in the queue, because I kind of feel like a hot mess. But I'm here anyway. But there's just a lot going on in life that is making it a challenge to do all of the daily practice things that I would normally be doing. But I have been doing what I can. And
Loren,
yes.
Let me ask you this. Is it legit? I mean, is it really true, or are you telling us about an ego story of there's so much going on that you have to be left out of the equation?
You know, I think it's a mix. My sense of what's going on is that there's a lot going on that's legit, but then there is this added layer where ego is trying to make it about me and how hard it is for me, and I'm aware that it's trying to come in and do that. Is that what you mean?
Yes, yes. That because very often when we fall into an ego identification, the picture that it presents for us, we believe is true. When we disidentify, we realize, well, that was actually a story. I was just seeing it that way because I was looking through ego's eyes, and that's how it was being portrayed. And so, you know, I mean, there are times when suddenly there's some sort of tragedy in a person's life, and they really do need to be focused on that. It wasn't there before. Now they've got their regular life going on, plus this big event, and the voices would beat the person up for not having done all of the ordinary. You know, you're not keeping up with the dishes, or you're not eating well, or whatever it is that will fall by the wayside during times of great activity.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if it was that, if something big has really happened, or if ego is on its, this is a really busy time, you've got so much going on, blah, 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 so you can't attend to what takes care of you.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those times where I think there is some of the second going on, where there is an ego story and So I do think that's part of it. I don't think this is one of those. I think I could be having a very different experience of this week if there wasn't the ego story going on. Yes.
Excellent. Because the very fact that of the way you introduced it put me on the scent, right? That you feel, I can't actually remember what the word was that you used, but that you're a hot mess right now. And so to put yourself in the queue is, now that's not, that's not how I would describe you at any point.
Yeah.
So therefore, something is framing your view of things such that.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, and I always wonder about when that's going on, whether to be in the queue or not, to just sort of know, like, okay, there's a story going on right here, you know, like, do I say what's going on, or do I just,
I can answer that. I know the answer, Lauren. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's on both sides of that duality, right? When the boy says, oh, you don't need to be in the queue. You're doing great. You don't have anything to talk about. Yeah, put yourself in the queue. Or, oh God, don't put yourself in the queue. Wait till you get yourself a little bit together. I mean, you're a mess. You're just going to embarrass yourself if you get on there. Yeah? Either side of that is a definite flashing green light.
To get in the queue, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'll share, I've been doing the assignment, working on turning, looking at the beliefs and assumptions, and the thing that I decided to focus with this week, because this story is going on, is that looking at like what it is to celebrate, sort of the essence of, I don't know if it's the essence of her, Loren, or just sort of like trying to come back to celebrating what is so. And so what I've been doing with yesterday's assignment and today's is just listing out all the story that ego says as to why I can't just be celebrating sort of the all that is, or sort of the essence of authenticity, you know, because this is going on or that. So that's what I've been doing with the assignment.
And that's great, because I project you're closing in on, and no wonder ego has some opinions about you, is the unconditional nature of it. You're celebrating the fact that this human being exists, that she is, right?
Yes.
Not that she's performing well in this area, or she's accomplished this, or she got that done today, or... and she was always cheerful while she did. There are no conditions on it. She exists, and that's what you're celebrating.
Yes, thank you for framing it that way. It does feel like that was the spirit of why I picked the focus, you know, and the aspects that I've been listing out are exactly, you know, what you said, like, didn't meet this standard, this person's upset with me, my judgment was off, you know, all of these campaigns that ego wants to come up again with, and just having a commitment to celebrating, you know, right, that she exists, that she's life, that, you know, that there's an authentic human being here, and that is worth celebrating no matter what the campaign is.
Oh, my God, yes. In fact, I hope for you for the next little while that you reverse that. You know, in the part where we get to who and how she truly is, right, that there is way more focus on that. Because, okay, there's ego with all of its negativity over there projecting all of this stuff onto her, right? And she patiently just keeps showing up. Right? Just being her sweet, intelligent, kind, caring, wanting to be the best person she can be self. Right? That's her part of the program. And here there's ego over there with all of its nasty negativity Yeah, who you want to be best friends with.
Yeah, so I hear the guidance being to get through this part of listing out these aspects of ego and then really move on to the celebration pretty efficiently. Yeah. I'm with you.
Exactly. yeah, exactly. Because yes, it is important to get all of that down so that when the voices come in, we know, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's ego. Yeah, there's no validity in that. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Thank you. Yeah. And so, it becomes that signal to get back here, to turn attention to her, to what's really true, what's really
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for getting in the queue this morning. Where you are.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks, Lorraine. Sherry, there's something that dropped in about how if we looked at qualities of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, they're universal, but there's a quality of life that's universal too, which is the unconditional nature of being here. It can't but be, because that's what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
The being. That you can, the being.
Yeah.
That's what Lorraine is closing in on. Her. Yeah. And it's really difficult to articulate, isn't it?
Yes, very.
So being, existence, kind of... What is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so self-evident that's our experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Bev calling from Louisville.
Well, hello, Bev. What you seeing?
Well, I think it was last week there was a peace quote that was written by you that talked about when we get on our cushion, how we're bombarded with so much, but that you ended it with, but there's enough room for all those parts. There's to be there with who I really am. And I've really been looking at that and trying to realize that I just have so many parts, and that's okay. Because I've been highly conditioned to think some of these parts or behaviors are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's that place where we talk about, adorable, sweet, beautiful little children don't need to be loved. Right? They're going to be loved.
Yeah.
It's not a need. It's just going to come easily to them. Right? But that little kid with the dirty face and the runny nose and the bad attitude, that's the one that needs the
love. Yeah. Well, I know I had an experience last week where basically I just had a temper tantrum. It happened in front of my husband, and I've been deeply conditioned that, you do not have temper tantrums. But I did. I did. And as it was going on, it was like I reminded me of the book, the Little Buddha, the Little Monk book. It was like my mentor was over to the side just watching. I knew exactly I was identified. I knew I was having a temper tantrum. And it was like it was just waiting patiently for me to finish. And then we talked about it. And it was so different than how I've been in the past when I act in, quotes, inappropriately. So it was a really wonderful experience to realize sometimes, especially when you're quarantined with the person 24/7, you might just have a temper tantrum. It was really eye-opening, and I didn't spend days feeling depressed and guilty and ashamed because I had a temper tantrum. I just thought, well, I really don't want that to happen again. Let's kind of look at, let's look at it. And I recorded about it, and it was okay.
And you know, Bev, if it does, it does.
Yes, because right, that's who I was right then. That's who I was. I was having a temper tantrum.
Yeah. Now, I have a lot of allergies, and so I sneeze a lot, right? And I see people who I don't know what they've got going about sneezing, but they try not to sneeze. And I think, oh, my God, they're going to blow themselves up. That has to be awful for the system, because when it's time to sneeze, just sneezing it, and now it's done. It's out. It's out there. And that's that same kind of thing. Now, you've got all that energy, right, that's building up. You might choose to use that for yourself in a different way.
Yeah.
Or will help you come up with and get, you know.
Yes.
But how were you going to get in touch with that? How were you going to see that? And how were you going to heal all of that guilt and remorse and shame and all of that if you hadn't had that experience?
That's what I thought exactly. And I spoke with my husband afterwards and just told him that that is not how, you know, it just came out. And I don't want that to happen. And we did, it was just over. We didn't talk about it for days and rehash it like I do, you know. It was just, I didn't mean that to happen. I'm working on, you know, different channel on that energy in other ways. And it was just over. And we went on with no hard feelings. It was really lovely.
Yes, yes, it is. And in fact, Bev, if we got to that place earlier in life, if that's how we were raised, this stuff happens, and you explode and you say things, and nobody takes it personally. Can you imagine how much easier marriage would be?
Oh, yeah, you know? Yes.
If we could just be all of the ways that we are with one another. What a lovely intimacy.
Yes. Yes, it was. And I just feel I need to celebrate that because I learned a lot from it.
Yes. Oh, and you get to celebrate it.
Yes. So,
absolutely.
So thank you for all these people out there that keep sharing these types of things and make me not be afraid to share. I had a temper tantrum, you know. So, gosh, oh, to the Sangha.
And know that we'll celebrate you, Beth. We'll all be happy for you and your husband that happened for the two of you.
Well, thank you. Gosh, oh, have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Bev.
You too. Go happy.
That's it, right, Cherry? Accepting life as is celebrating the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. All right, that brings us to the end of the show, and here's our assignment for today. Our definition of a subpersonality aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs, assumptions, and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Assignment. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that get a sense of each personality's worldview. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month, RL what you notice. Example, lip service is not sincere. She's perfectly willing to go along with what's important in life, but it's all just words. She has no intention of carrying through with what she says. She's not aware that she's all words and no execution, and if there's an action, it tends to be half-baked. She is so agreeable. She's hard to argue with.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
The fun continues. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.